Open the meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you. First 30 days. All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are going to be discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. We've got Pavo and Travis. All right, I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 84, and then each of our panel will share for a few minutes on the reading. All right, step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And on page 84, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And I didn't figure out who wants to go first.
Nope.
Quick rock, paper,
age.
All right. My name is Travis. I'm an alcoholic.
Travis.
This is my home group, Simple Actions. I have a sobriety date. It's August 24th of 2020. I sponsor other men. I do have a sponsor. He's aware that he sponsors me. The consistent and persistent effort to maintain a certain spiritual attitude that allows me to stay here and remain comfortable sober. I have a job in my home group. I'm the GSR. And I say all those things because, you know, it's important for me to stay in the middle of the herd. For a large part of my story is bouncing in and out of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, taking up a chair, not putting money in the basket, drinking the coffee, leaving 5 minutes early, coming 5 minutes late. It's just all the above is what I did. And I experienced the consequences as a result of that. And those consequences looked something like, I don't need a sponsor. I don't need these meetings. I don't need you people. And because I'm different, right? It's just, my case is always different. I suffer from this like unique uniqueness, you know, this, I'm far from useful. I'm far from helpful. I'm inherently selfish and self-centered, driven by fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. I step on the toes of everyone, and then you guys retaliate, and I can only see what you did to me. And as a result of that, it's kept me apart from for a long time. And so I think I'm saying all that just to sort of let you know that I belong here. I didn't earn my seat in Alcoholics Anonymous. My best thinking didn't get me here. It almost kept me from ever coming here at all, to be quite frank. I've always had this thing that when I have a drink, I want another. I've always had that. I've never not had it. I've never not had a drink of alcohol and not wanted another. Not once have I ever sat at the bar and said, you know, I think I'm just fine. That's good. I'm good right here. You know, never once. I also have this mental obsession that that tells me it's okay, that I can get away with this time, that no one will know. I can just do it on the weekends. All the above. Fill in the blank for your own story, right? If you're kind of at odds with if you belong here or not. I told myself all those things, and the problem is that I always go out on the lie. I never go out on the truth. And the real crux of the problem is that I believe the lie. You know, I have insane thinking. And so I need to be restored to sanity. I need a power. I'm powerless. And my life is unmanageable. And what that unmanageability looks like is that I have alcoholism. I can't manage my emotional nature. I'm constantly at odds with everyone and everything in this life, including myself. It's my mind that works me over all night long. And then I can't take it just enough. The planets align just enough. You guys piss me off just enough. And then I think about having a drink. And that's just what it looks like for me. And I come in here and you tell me to work 12 steps. You tell me to get a sponsor. You tell me to get a home group, to get involved. All these things I really, really don't want to do. I'm a reluctant member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and thank God for people like you that have sort of, I don't want to use the word motivation, but encouragement, suggestions, you know, and most importantly, the power of example. You know, I watched what you guys did. See, I always thought if I knew what you knew, I would get what you got. That's just not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. I had to take the action. I had to do it, you know? This is an action-oriented program. There's no chapter in the book. This is called Into Action, by the way. It's not called Into Pondering, Into Wondering, all these things that I'm really, really good at, you know? It's Into Action. I have to take the action in order to get the result. And by the time I get to this step, I've just scratched the surface of a very, very deep experience, right? For me, I'm coming off of like the first couple times around, you know, and I'm reluctantly working the steps. I'm begrudgingly doing this thing. I'm just kind of doing it because I feel I have no other choice, and which is kind of true even today. But I think the difference was, is I don't know if my heart wasn't in it. I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but that's just my experience, my failed attempts at long-term sobriety or staying here and staying recovered. You know, what we offer here is called permanent recovery. It's mentioned all throughout the book, recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. What does that mean? It means that it only seems like I'm hopeless, you know, but what we have here is hope. And it's just as a result of taking these actions. And this is part of it. So, I think it's important to sort of clear the ground a bit and talk about, you know, what got me here, you know, and what's getting me here through at least working the steps. And I just talked about step one. Step two is, luckily for me, it's the very next step. I need a power, right? How do I access power? That's steps 3 through 9. I access this power, and it's about me, you, and God. There's no one else to play with. Because alcohol is never the problem. It's my relationships with you, my relationship with me, and my relationship with God. And And there's too much of me involved in between each one of those things, right? I'm, as I said before, I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm driven by all this fear. I'm driven by the fear. I am not a violent man. I'm a fearful man. And as a result of that, I have been very violent in my life, but that's not my first card I go to. I'm very frightened of you, what you think. I'm frightened of not having enough money, not getting what I want. And as a result of that, I take these actions that usually have me fall right on my face. And then I can't see my own mistakes, right? So it says here, we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. And what that means is the ability to go to that place where I am accountable for my actions, and it's the problem is always me. See, the 12 and 12 talks about, this is a, you know, a spiritual axiom, which is, if you take geometry, an axiom is true under any and all conditions, right? So no matter what, there's always something wrong with me. It's my perception. It's how I'm looking at this thing or a person or a situation or a relationship. And I have to continue to set right those mistakes because I will fall short. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. As we cleaned up the past. So that means I'm still making amends when I'm doing this, right? I'm going to continue to take this inventory. We've entered the world of the spirit. We're going to talk about the promises next, which is probably my favorite part of this. But the truth is that, like, it's not really about, for me, it's not really about writing the inventory, although I do that for step 10, right? It's about right here, right now. You know, I have, like, it's about awareness of my surroundings, of the people that I'm surrounding myself with. Like, I have the ability and the capacity to fall short miserably at any given time of the day. But luckily for me, there's these steps that allow me to get back on the beam. And just recently, me and another alcoholic have been doing written inventories every day at a certain time. It's a very disciplined thing. We call each other and we just get current. You know, all the noise starts to subside, and and get back out into the world and be useful and helpful. It says here our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So it doesn't say. I'm about to get to it here. This is not an overnight matter. So I shouldn't expect to be perfect at this, or perfect at all, really. It's not an overnight matter. And it's just letting me know that I'm a human being. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to continue to fall short. And I can't be hard on others. Have to be hard on myself. Although I have to remain with a certain awareness that I'm a human being and I'm going to fall short. I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to need God. I had an experience not that long ago. I was telling this guy, I don't feel like I'm enough. And he said, good. And I was like, what? Because if you were enough, you'd probably drink and die, you know? And it says, we continue to watch. So that's an action, right? I continue to watch right here, right now. I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. It sounds very similar to step 4, right? It's the same thing. It's the same stuff. Because these manifestations of self come up within my life. And it causes me to make decisions based on self, which place me in a position to be hurt every time. And if I'm either God-reliant or I'm self-reliant, there's really no free will that I'm of my understanding. My limited understanding in this life is that I either make decisions based on self or I make decisions based on what I think God would have me be. and I'm praying and I'm meditating and I'm seeking that power and I'm helping you and I'm trying to do what's necessary in order to be comfortable sober and stay here and remain a productive member of society. Says, when these crop up, it's not, you know, that's a timeline. It says when, it means like it's going to happen, you know. We ask God at once to remove them. It doesn't say have God remove them at once. I ask at once to have God remove them. So it means I need to take action right away and ask God to remove these things because God's not going to do it like that, right? It takes the rest of this work, I think, in order for some of that to sort of get fleshed out, if that makes sense. We discuss them with someone immediately. So I need to be transparent. I take action. I call somebody. I do this 10-step written thing that I was telling you about. And that's just what I'm doing right now where I'm at. And we make amends quickly if we harmed anyone. It sounds like step 9, you know? Then we resolutely, which with determination, turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. These are all actions that if in my, somebody used to call it a 4 and 4, you know, like, but there's still, there's really 5 because it's a watch, you know, for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. But when these crop up, I have 4 things to do about it. And if I take those actions and immediately turn my thoughts to someone I can help, usually 9 times out of 10, it dissipates. And then what I don't catch here, I catch in my nightly review when I retire at night, my step 11. And I do a written one of those as well. And I say all that really just to let you know that it works. And I fall asleep at night like that. My wife hates it, but I love it. And there's a reason for it because she wants to stay up and talk and whatever else. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm tired from the day, but I'm okay to go to sleep. I'm at peace, you know, it's a state of being. This whole thing is a state of being, really. I think I ran out of gas. So there you go, Pablo.
Thanks, Travis.
You got it.
Thanks, Travis. Pablo, alcoholic.
Hi, Pablo.
A very grateful alcoholic. I've been sober. My sobriety date is September 4th, 2008. I had the privilege of dealing with a wonderful institution called PBSO. Which is Palm Beach County Sheriff's Organization. And they decided I need an extended stay with them, which was the cheapest and best rehab I ever been to. I walked out, I went in a spoiled brat. I don't remember it because I was in a blackout. And I walked out 8 months later, a grateful man. It humbled me. And I'm getting goosebumps. I'm grateful for that. I recently celebrated 15 years. I couldn't get 5 hours back in the day. You know, I used to go detoxes in Florida with stuff in my car, just in case the detox is too difficult. So I could take the easier softer way, you know? So today for me to be sitting in front of you saying I have 15 years, it's a miracle. You know, I am not the person 15 years ago. I am not the person 10 years ago. I'm not even the person 5 months ago. I constantly evolve and change. And to me, this is the beauty of this program. You know, I love the line, and he said it's excellent about this paragraph, but I like the line. This is not an overnight matter. I didn't wake up in jail from a blackout saying, man, I'm cured. The judge didn't think so. The deputies didn't think so, you know, but I changed when I've done these steps the first time, because I've done them once before in different fellowship, but I didn't put everything down. I left those things that no one needs to know or no one's going to know. And I'm not blaming that, but there's some kind of correlation between doing a 4th inventory and putting literally everything on. I've done that 15 years ago or 14, and I'm still sober. You know, I recently redid my steps like a year ago, which was wonderful. And I love this step because it's so short. It's literally a page, not even a page. But it's essential to staying sober. Do I rent inventory every night? I'm not going to lie. I don't. But I do it every night in my head. And just like Travis said, I pray and I'm out. Like instantly. I used to have such a problem falling asleep. I don't anymore. I don't go out and deliberately hurt people because that's not right. I know I'm doing something wrong when my gut tells me, Pavel, this is not what you're supposed to do. I don't know who that person is. I used to never be like that. And today I have a God conscience in my life that helps me to be a better person. And that's only because I've done these steps. And I have a sponsor who knows this is my sponsor. I have sponsees who my sponsees, I believe they help me more than I help them. They say otherwise, but I believe they help me so much more. You know, and I love this. It's not an overnight matter. It took me years to get to where I am today. You know, I remember prior sobrieties, I had a few of them. I used to think nothing of going to Walgreens and stealing Tic Tacs. They don't care. It's their corporation. But today, I don't do that. Like, that's not right. It's not right to go and deliberately hurt somebody. And I know that if I do some wrong, I get this gut feeling. Usually it's instant. And if that doesn't happen instantly, I know at night when I think about my day, I think of things I might have done wrong. And then I have an opportunity to go and make amends. The awesome thing I believe is the longer I'm sober, the less amends I have to make. If you do the next right thing, you don't really have many amends to do. At least that's my experience, you know? Am I perfect? No, I'm not, but I'm a different person than was when I got sober, you know? And it's, I love the line, love and tolerance of others is our code. I used to be like, back in the day, I don't want sponsees. I don't want to hear that BS, excuse me, French, but, but today, like it feels awesome for someone to call me, ask me for suggestions. Man, that's crazy. People used to run away from me. Now people are like, actually, they want what I have. And they want what I have, not like things or money or connections, like to help them have a better life. To me, it's that's another miracle of this program. You know, it says here that when these crap up, we ask God at once to remove them. When things end, like Travis said, when things come up, just ask for help. Call your sponsor, ask your supports, reach out to God and tell him, I don't know what I'm doing. For me, I remember waking up in jail. That was the first time in a while I asked God, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. And I've been sober since. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you both. All right. The next reading is going to be on page 84 also. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. And we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
I gotta say, I love the 10-step promises. Probably like most people in this room, I never experienced those when I was drinking. Similar to the 9-step promises, you might have heard people say this, but it's very true. When you read those 9-step promises, you know, when drinking, the freedom of, all that stuff, all those things, those 12 things that they read, and I'm not going to remember them off the top of my head right now. I'm not that good. That's what I believe in books. I believe in libraries. Right. But really, like if you go home and read the 9-step promises and just put when drinking in front of them, I had all of them like that. It worked for me. It did something for me that it doesn't do for the average normal temperate drinker. And so as a result of that, I was going to allow to do what it did to me for all those years. And these 10-step promises are something different. This is what I get to being in the realm of the spirit, entering the world of the spirit. I believe there's two fellowships here. There's the spirit of the fellowship and there's the fellowship of the spirit, right? And after I had my spiritual experience, 2 weeks into that rehab, something happened to me and for me and all the above. I don't know, but I haven't been the same since. It's held me in good stead to this very day. And I say that just, number one, it's my experience. It's my truth. Number two, the power of God was revealed to me that day. And that's the most important fact of my life today. What I've realized is that when you meet someone else that has had an effective spiritual experience and you can see the lights in their eyes, you can hear the way they're talking, their body language, all that stuff. It reaffirms this idea that God is everything, right? It's a state of being. I'll kind of go through this real quick, but it says here, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. Now that's revolutionary. I mean, I fight everything and everyone, right? My 4th and 5th step exemplify that for sure. For by this time, sanity will have returned. So what does that mean? I can react sanely and normally, like normal people. It's not even a thing. I don't think about drinking or not drinking. The soundness of mind to be relieved of the obsession to drink and use. Now that is crazy for a guy like me, right? For a guy like me that came in this last time on a high bottom, but every single other time it was one of those low bottoms, like black trash bag full of clothes. None of them are mine, right? No one wants anything to do with me. I have a cell phone with no one to call, or no phone with no one to call, spitting on the street, just like living on park benches. Drug dealers don't even want anything to do with me at this point, right? And for me to come in here and actually read this, it's to not do the first 9 steps up to this point and to read this, I'd be like, you guys are crazy. I've had such an good experience as a result of just doing this work and sticking around and doing what's necessary and helping the next man. But and it says we will seldom be interested in liquor. So it means I'm not thinking about it. I'm not thinking of not doing it, like thinking about it, it's not a thing. If tempted, so if I think about it, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. Page 24 talks about the flame, right? It talks about putting my hand on the hot stove. Why do I keep doing that? Why do I keep putting my hand on the hot stove? Because I'm insane. I still go out on the lie. I have the mind of a chronic alcoholic that takes me back to the drink if left untreated. And this, I need to continue to stay in this work in order to stay recovered. We react sanely normally, and we find that this has happened automatically. So we will see that, and this kind of goes with it, we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It's a gift. It was a gift that was given to me. And my part was sort of 4 through 9. I write some things down. I go over them with my sponsor. I work 6 and 7 continuously, falling short miserably, making amends, getting off the couch and going out there to clean up the past. And I do those things. And as a result of that, it's happened automatically. 4 and 5 is me. 6 and 7 is God. 8 and 9 is you. Step 10, 11, and 12, same thing. Step 10 is me, 11 God, 12 you. There's no one else to play with. If I'm actively doing this work under the direction of a sponsor, sponsoring other men, having a job in my home group, going out and finding the newcomer, seeking God through prayer and meditation, these are all really, really simple ideas. Only I'm not a doer, you know, I'm a thinker, I'm a ponderer, I'm a wanderer, you know, but I'm not a doer by nature. And, but I found that there was a guy that told me this one time, and I'll share it with you guys, but he told me, now, if in the forward to the 12 and 12, if it's true that these 12 steps are a set of principles, spiritual in nature, which if followed and practices a way of life, can expel the obsession to drink. Now, if that's true, well, gravity is also a principle. If I get up on top of this roof right now and I jump, I will fall. No matter what I think about it, no matter how I feel about it, it will happen. And same thing with the sun. The sun is a principle. It comes up whether I like it or not, whether I think it's a good idea or not, whether I feel like it should or not, it comes up and it will go down. The 12 steps are exactly the same way. If I take the action, the result comes. In spite of what I think, what I'm trying to do here is, I think in order to experience God, I think Mark Houston said this, but in order to experience God, I must be out of my mind, right? Because my mind is, this is where the desire lies. It lies in the center of my mind. And that's what I'm trying to get free of. I had a sponsor that used to say, the incessant chatter of 1,000 monkeys. And it's always, I always think about that. So when I can hear that chatter and it starts to get louder and a lot noisier, I know something's going on and something's going on with me. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. There's a couple areas where I have written down in my book too. Page 43 talks about, I would not go back to it even if I could. Page 57, top paragraph, I think. He could not drink even if he could, even if he would. There is no choice. At this point, it's not even a choice. I'm safe and protected. The thought of drinking and not drinking isn't even there. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Spit spiritual condition. Yes, fit spiritual condition, you know. And that's an action too. I have to stay in this work in order to remain recovered and keep the beast at bay. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Travis. Pavel, still alcoholic. I really enjoy the fact that when I got sober, I'm able to say and mean, I'm sorry. I'm capable today of going to someone and say, I've done you wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Is there any way I could fix it? What could I do to make this better? It's interesting because long time ago, it was never my fault. I did nothing wrong, anything wrong. It was always you. You're the one that wronged me. And I lived like that for years. And then I get sober and realize, holy shit, I'm not perfect. Wow. Why the inventory is so amazing? Because you get to see your patterns, what you do your entire life. So today for me, so recently, a couple of days ago, my mom flew in from Poland to stay with me. Only Thursday evening, I'm already like, oh, mom, when are you going back? I love her, but I'm... So yesterday, I didn't snap, but I raised my voice about something because it's my house, it's my place. Like, don't rearrange things, which she does. So afterwards, like in the evening, it was like, mom, I shouldn't have said that. And she just said, thank you. That's it. That's it. Back in the day, this would have been in my head, pestering. I can't change her. She's 78. I'm the one that needs to change. She's my mom. And I'm grateful to have a relationship with my mom today. I get to have her at my house. Back in the day, she wanted nothing to do with me. You know, she flies from Europe to spend time with me, you know, and it's all because I'm sober. I am not the person I used to be. You know, I remember when I was out there for a while, whenever she used to go to vacation, I used to think, oh, what if she's like in the Middle East somewhere on the trip? If I need extra money, what am I going to do? Today, I asked my mom, what do you need? And that's the beauty of this program. You know, I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I'm not selfish. Things come up, but I can repay to this program for what has given it to me. You know, I get to be a son today. I get to be a friend today. I get to be a dad to my daughter. You know, it's a couple of days ago, I did something. I sent her a card, and it's fun. She's my daughter's 13, and ever since she got her cell phone, we talk less now. We text. It's like, this is when I was 13, I didn't have a cell phone, you know? But I sent her a card, and she texts me, thank you, Daddy. To me, that's priceless, you know? And it's all in it all because I'm sober. I like that it says, we don't fight it. We're not cocky. I don't, it's weird. I can't tell you when it happened. One of my first spiritual experiences was when I've done my steps, when I've done my fifth, sixth, and then, you know, meditated and seventh. I remember I was in a halfway house in Florida, and I left my room after I did the seventh, and I sat outside. I was still smoking then. I smoked a cigarette and I felt like I was levitating. And like all the, like I told another man everything I've done my entire life. I didn't care anymore. You know, I carried this garbage, this weight for years. You know, if you knew or you're struggling with the fourth step, put it down on paper. Tell somebody else. For me, it was freeing. So today, for me to sit in front of you and talk about the 10th step, that's a miracle. Because I was able to do something I didn't want to do for so long. Work these steps the way they're supposed to be worked. With a sponsor, not by myself. With a sponsor. You know, I was through something years ago that I had to pay wreckage of my past. And I was facing significant amount of time in prison. And someone walked up to me and said, you have every opportunity right now to drink and do anything you want. And I remember I said to the person, but why? The problem's still gonna be there. To me, that's a spiritual experience, to be able to sit and deal with the wreckage of my past. You know, it's interesting. Since I got sober and since actually I moved to Norfolk a couple, like 5-6 years ago, I've been constantly invited to events in this free and unlimited booze. Not once I think of drinking it. To me, that's a miracle. You know, when you do these steps the proper way, you change. I've changed. You know, I don't, like it was said before, I don't think about drinking. I don't know when it happened. I just don't. I don't think about substances. What I do think is, what could I do today to make my mom happy? What could I do today to make my friend happy? If you have extra money, take somebody to lunch. But don't post it on Facebook that you did it. Just do it. You know, you know it, he knows it, or she and God knows it. That's enough. You know, it's life is beautiful if you allow it to be. It really is. I'm saying that, and sometimes I still think, who is this person saying it? Like, but man, I just got goosebumps. I don't know. I don't know what, how much else to say about this, that through working these steps, working this 10 step, doing overnight inventory, like I said, I don't put on paper, I'm not going to lie. It makes me think, was I a prick today? Did I do something wrong I shouldn't have done? And reach out to the person I might have harmed. And I know I've changed, because when something happens and the gut feeling, to me, that's God telling me, hey, that's not right. And guess what? I don't do it. I don't go with the, oh, maybe I'll do this and I'll have a shortcut. Shortcuts never work for me. I always end up in the same place. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. The next reading is going to be on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
Yes, this is a warning, right? It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on my laurels, my past accomplishments, what I think I know, what I've done so far, all these things. For me, I can't stay sober today off of having a revolutionary flash pan spiritual experience 3 years ago. It's just me, right? Although it's held me in good stead to this very day, it's if that was the only thing that was necessary, you'd have a different speaker, you know? I can't stay sober today off of making all my amends, for that matter, you know, just making all my amends and going out into the world and relying on self and hurting people and having conversations with myself about it. I'm not going to get away with it, you know? I think there's a reason why I think I shared this at a meeting recently, but you know, in step four, when Bill talks about fear ought to be classed with stealing, it seems to cause more trouble. I've gotten away with a lot of stealing in my life, but I never get away with having fear. Never. I've never gotten away with having fear, because what it does is it robs me of the present moment. I'm stuck in yesterday and I'm in the impending doom of tomorrow, and I can't live here and now. And that's not, I can't experience God. There's no grace. There's no fit spiritual condition. There's no this has happened automatically. All this stuff works itself backwards if I'm not here and now. Period. I don't know about you guys, but my mind tells me a whole bunch of things. And it's not all true. And there's a process here that we're doing, which allows me to get out of self, to put it simply. So it's easy to rest on my past accomplishments. I am headed for trouble if I do. Do I believe that's true for me? Do I believe it's true that I can rest on my laurels? And if not, do I believe it's, you know, I'm in trouble if I do? Because do I believe this? Alcohol is a subtle foe? Absolutely. You know, my experience shows that. But I'm like the four alcoholics within more about alcoholism, right? I have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. So the suffering and humiliation of a week or a month ago doesn't even come into my mind if I'm not in this work. You know, I'm not going to stay sober off of fear either. I'm not going to stay, certainly not going to stay free off of fear. We are not cured of alcoholism. So, you know, in the beginning of this book, it talks about having a threefold illness, you know, physical, mental, and spiritual. This book promises that I can be recovered from my alcoholism, physically and mentally. This tells me that spiritually, my alcoholism is only suppressed, contingent on maintaining my spiritual nature. And good thing it's the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Because if I was required to be spiritually fit all the time, I would be goner. You would have a different speaker tonight. Trust me. It's the maintenance of my spiritual condition which matters. Seeking God and trying to do His will, not relying on self, calling others, writing inventory, all the above. What we really have is a daily reprieve. I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. If you guys are hearing that beep, and it's my insulin pump, and that's something else too. You know, I have type 1 diabetes, and it's kind of similar to what we're talking about here. We're talking about physical, mental, and spiritual anyway. When I found out I had diabetes, the doctor came in the room and she said, you're dying from a fatal progressive illness. And there's three things you have to do the rest of your life. That's exercise, diet, and medicine. And I said, thanks, doc. See you later. And I went out and worked Travis's program for the next couple of years, you know, and I experienced a lot of consequences because of that. Because I didn't do what was required. Hmm. You know, I didn't grab a hold of it. I didn't try. I didn't do. I didn't plan. I didn't seek. You know, and there's a few things that I have to do about it. That's it. You know, and there's a bunch of other things that go into that, of course. But you know, Rick's back there laughing at me because he's got the same thing. But you know, I just it's the same thing. If I can think about it like that, it makes total sense. So I have to get right spiritually, and I have to continue to seek. Every day is a day where we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. What that means for me is, you know, what's my choice to be? Is God everything or nothing? You know? How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our will power along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So here they're telling me that you know, in step three, it talks about we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood, right? So I'm making a decision to turn my thoughts and actions over to this power that I may or may not even believe in. I just believe that something's happening because it seems like you guys are comfortable sober. So I'm going to try or to do whatever it is that you guys are doing. So I'm making that decision and I'm going to pull the trigger in step four and I'm going to make this process of elimination and uncover, discover, and discard all this stuff that's blocking me from you and blocking me from God and from remaining sober and comfortable doing that. But, you know, it's the proper use of the will. I have, like I said before, I have self-will, which means I'm making decisions based on self, right? Off of my fear, my insecurity, and all these things are driven by fear. So if I write it down, right, and I say, I was self-seeking because my self-seeking activities or actions were such, X, Y, and Z. My selfish thinking that went into that, that caused the self-seeking, was I was thinking about myself because why, you know? And then if I take it even further, and if I go down to the dishonesty piece, what's the delusion that I'm suffering from that caused me to have this selfish thinking? Well, if I get clear on that, then what's the fear? What's driving it? I'm driven by fear. So it starts with that. That's always the driver. Bill says something funny in 12 and 12. He says, you know, fear is the chief activator of all my defects of character. And if I get clear on the fear, right, I can ask God to remove my fear and direct my attention to what he would have me be. What would God have me be? God would have me be loving, would have me be kind, would have me be useful, helpful, forgiving, understanding, trying to help, not trying to get help, you know, trying to love, not receive love, just focus on what I can provide to what I can give to others, what I can do for others. Yeah, I think that was it. Thanks.
Pavel, still alcoholic.
Pavel.
So I like the line, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. So what I do every day, every morning that I wake up, I say just a quick thank you. Finally get up, walk to my kitchen, start the water for my French press. Go back to bed while the water's boiling and do my morning readings. Every morning I read my readings. It's now I have like 7-8 books that build up a collection since I got sober. But the new ones I just got a couple months ago, there's 3 of them and one more. I use the older one. Every day I read them, take pictures of them, and send them to my sponsors and a couple other people. Every morning I do that. While drinking coffee. My day starts with that. Once I do that, once I do the reading, send them out, I say a little prayer to say thank you again. I get to wake up in my bed, in my place that I pay money for. I know what I did last night, which I used to don't remember what happened. And then I wake up, I'm like, oh shit, who's this? Where am I? I get to wake up in my own bed. No one pays anything for me. I pay myself. Like, I get to do that today because I'm sober. And then I go out and try to be of use to others. When people call me, I'll pick up the phone. Sometimes I don't want to, but I still pick it up and talk to someone. And I know every time I pick up a phone from someone that's struggling, I feel better afterwards. That's a gift of this program. I get to be there for somebody else. You know, and that is the entire purpose of, in the way of me staying sober. When someone else needs help, I'm there. That's simple. I can't, what is the saying? I can't keep, but I can't, you keep only what you give away, whatever the saying. So I'm butchering it. But like, I get to stay sober as long as I continue to help others. It's that simple. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Well, that actually ends our sharing portion for the night. Let's thank our speakers. All right, we are going to pass the seventh tradition basket. Right, the seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA related announcements?
James, alcoholic.
Hey, James.
James.
This group right here, 100 group. Monday, December 18th, we're going to have dinner and a speaker. Dinner's going to start at 6 o'clock, potluck. And we're going to have a speaker at 7, Susie S. from Raleigh, North Carolina. And we got these here over on the table there. If you want to pick some up and take them out as you go, spread them around. This room will be slammed full of people, I guarantee you. So come out and join us. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Hey, Bryce.
Sweet Sobriety. It's Sundays at 6 p.m. at the Virginia Beach Recovery Club. We're having a 6th anniversary celebration Sunday, December 10th. Pizza cake and a special speaker, Travis K., our very own from Cincinnati.
Woohoo!
On December 10th, Sunday. It's open to everybody. You don't need to be an alcoholic, so please go to it.
Sweet. Woo. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Awesome. Point out that literature is available. Literature is available right there on that table. The pamphlets are free, but see a home group member if you need to purchase a book. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available right here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. And if you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In the meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Cafe Stella, right up Colonial Avenue next to Kogan's. All right. In closing, let's all thank our awesome panel again. You are awesome. And please feel free after we close up to come up here and thank our speakers. And I have asked Amy to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy.
Amy.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks. We have a nice way of closing.
We did.
I did. All right, moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.